Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. I don't know if any of you got any cards or special greetings today, but today is Mary St. John the Baptist Nativity Day, and it is 6 months before Christmas. It is John the Baptist born 6 months before Jesus, and this is a major festival in some parts of the world. There are many pagan festivals that are celebrated throughout the world on or near this date, the summer solstice, and they all have their roots and their beginnings in the Christian celebration of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. It is a fascinating study, but today we are here remembering God giving us a forerunner, a picture, a pointer, one who will point us to the forgiveness of sins, the knowledge of salvation in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. You'll notice a little bit of an Advent, almost a Christmassy feel to the worship service today, and we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts on the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Our opening hymn is number 346, When All the World Was Cursed. Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Matins. That's on page 219 and following. For our office hymn, we'll sing the hymn that has all the different verses for the special minor festival days. And I'll sing verse 1 and then verse 18, which is the John the Baptist verse, and then verse 3. Following the sermon, because it is a portion of our text for today, we'll sing the Benedictus rather than the Te Deum. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We have a special worship insert. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take a moment, notice and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got a lot of visitors today. We're getting our youth together, getting organized here. They're going to leave right after the 8 o'clock service for a trip to Colorado. If you don't know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with, take a moment and find out. Remember, in Jesus, we are all one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of your word made flesh, your word attached to visible means like water, bread, and wine, all which point us to the person and work of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. On this special day, we thank you for the gift of John the Baptist. We thank you for his message. We thank you for his example. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for his finger clearly pointing us not to himself, not to ourselves, but to Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. It's in his name that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 346.
219. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Together our introit for this day.
Lord,
office hymn, hymn number 518, By All Your Saints in Warfare, verses 1, 18, and 3. Verses 1, 18, and 3. Please be seated. Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Acts, chapter 13. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it. So Paul stood up and motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king. And God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. O Lord, have mercy upon us.'"
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Luke, chapter 1. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, are the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, are the habitation of your house, and the place
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. The text for us this morning, as we celebrate and remember the great high feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago, especially these words spoken by Zechariah under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You can almost see the young father, I guess he's not a young father, the old man father, holding up his young son, lifting him up to God, thanking God, and saying, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the first things we teach our children as they get a little bit more aware of things in our world and in society is a very basic rule. It's not polite to point. How many times don't we have little ones, and they see something? They see something that's a little bit unusual. Maybe they see an individual who's really tall or really short, or really big or really not so big, or someone with purple hair or no hair, and the little one, naturally curious, points. "Look, Mommy, look, Daddy." And so what do Mommy and Daddy do? Shh, no, no. It's not polite to point. We're told that as people get a little bigger and they're pointing out the fault of other people, you may have one finger pointed at someone else. You know the old adage, right? But as you do, you have three fingers pointed right back at you. It's not polite to point. And yet, what do? Maybe not with our fingers, but with our mind, with our heart, with our words, we have become masters at pointing. We like to point out the faults and the problems of everybody else. It's as old as Adam and Eve, right? Confronted with sin, what does Adam do? "Not my fault, God." "It's that woman. That woman you gave me." He pointed not only to Eve, but also to God who gave him Eve. What did Eve do? "It's not my fault, God. It's that serpent you created." We love to blame other people for our misfortune. We love to point our fingers at other people. Why? Well, first of all, it is natural, according to the old Adam or the old Eve that lives inside of us. It's the way of sin. But if we can deflect attention away from our own problems, away from our own sin, away from our own guilt, away from our own culpability, somehow that makes us feel better. At least temporarily better. So, finger pointing is really bad. Right? Well, not so fast. Today, as we remember and celebrate the feast of the Nativity of John the Baptist, there are so many different things that we can think about and focus on. Usually, John the Baptist comes up week or two before our celebration of Christmas, and we have all kinds of wonderful things to focus on, right? We have the miraculous birth, and we get the end of the story in our gospel reading here. Remember Zechariah and Elizabeth? They are old. They can't have kids. They pray and they long to God for a child, and God hears their request. But Zechariah, serving in the temple, doesn't believe it. Doesn't believe it can happen. He's an old man. His wife is well past the age of childbearing. And so the angel of God takes away his ability to speak. For 9 months, he can't talk. We have the dramatic scene played out for us in the beginning of our text today. What are you going to name the little baby? Mom says, name him John. You can't do that. We don't have any Johns in our family. That would break tradition. Dad, what should we name him? And as he's been doing for the last 9 months, he communicates by writing on a tablet. His name is John. Immediately, his voice comes back. As his voice comes back, he praises God. What a marvelous, marvelous example for us. All of these things that surround this miraculous birth of John the Baptist. John leaping inside the womb of his mother. Sanctity of human life. There are so many different things that we can talk about. And then John the Baptist, he dresses like a maniac. He's out in the wilderness. He's wearing crazy clothes. He's eating funky foods. How many things that we can talk about and look at with regard to the person and work of John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a fearless preacher. A fearless preacher of the law. He preaches the word of God. The law in all its harshness and severity. Even calling out the king for his adulterous relationship, which eventually cost him his head. A fearless proclaimer of the gospel, saying, I, John, must decrease. He, Jesus, must increase. John, the last of the Old Testament prophets, the first of the New Testament prophets, so many things to focus on with regard to John, but today, I want you to focus on one aspect, one part of the ministry of John the Baptist, and I would submit to you that it is by far the most important part. I want you to focus on the finger of John. I want you to focus on the finger of John. Zechariah, after he has rightly extolled God and praised God and thanked God for keeping his promises of sending a Savior and a Messiah, finally he turns his attention to the gift of the little boy in his hands. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. John's job was to go before Jesus, to point people to Jesus. In Jesus is the answer to your finger pointing, to your blame game. You can find no real and lasting satisfaction for blaming other people or even blaming God for your misery or your sin or your worry or your condition or your guilt. Temporary, maybe. Lasting relief, never. There is only one thing and one thing alone that can truly bring peace, truly bring comfort, truly bring that peace that God's Word talks about, the peace that surpasses all understanding, and that is the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins that you cannot manufacture on your own. The forgiveness of sins that you can't tap into deep down inside of you. The forgiveness of sins that comes from outside of you. And specifically, John the Baptist says, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John points his finger, not to himself. He points his finger to Jesus. You want peace? Look to Jesus. You want comfort? Look to Jesus. You want to figure out who you are and why you're here? Look to Jesus. In Jesus is the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins. Faith. And the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins is a gift from God. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. In fact, Zechariah's song tells us why God would give us Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and John's finger to point it to us. Because of the tender mercy of our God. The tender mercy of our God. It is God's nature to show mercy, tender mercy, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, God can be prompted to anger, his alien work, but he delights in showing mercy to poor, miserable sinners like you and me. In the tender mercy of God, he sends John. He sends John to point you to Jesus. Why? Because he doesn't want you to miss it. In the midst of all of our finger pointing, sometimes, oftentimes, we miss. God sent Jesus into the world to save sinners, we heard last week, of whom I am chief, foremost. In a sense, the finger pointing for every sin that has ever been committed pointed at Jesus. He takes your sin and my sin and the sin of the whole world, all sin for all people for all time, into himself and onto himself, bleeding and dying and rising. 40 days later, ascending into heaven, seated at the right hand of God with all power and might and glory. And he promises, "I am coming back. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And when the time is right, I will come and take you to the mansion prepared for you since the beginning of time." And so now, God has charged the church with the same mission of John the Baptist. The finger. We, as the church, and specifically pastors who are in that office, are to be the finger of God. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God. So where should our finger be pointed? Should we point to heaven? Because that's where Jesus is. Should we point to our heart? Because that's where we want Jesus to be. No, my friends. We do not point to heaven as if this is some mystical, mythical place that we can somehow ascend to in our own mind or in our heart or in our emotion. We do not point to our heart as if our heart has the answer or our reason or our logic can figure all of this out. We point to where Jesus promises to be in His Word, the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, the Word of God for you. Here is Jesus for you who promises, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We point to the baptismal font where God delivered Good Friday and Easter to you, where He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit, which continually points you to the completed work of Jesus Christ, His suffering, His death, and His resurrection for you, for the forgiveness of sins. We point to simple bread and wine, which is the very body and blood of Jesus, take and eat, take and drink, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. God's gift sustaining you on this difficult journey of life. And we point, of all places, to the breath and the words of a pastor. What? God promises that when the called and ordained servant of God tells you your sins are forgiven, it's as real and valid as if Jesus Himself spoke those words. My friends, what do we do with our fingers? We don't like to be caught in our sin. We don't like to admit when we're wrong. It's so much easier to blame everybody and anybody except ourselves. God knows that. That's why He sent Jesus. And now He says, enough of the blame game. It will get you nowhere, and it will certainly offer you no peace. Instead, look to Jesus, to His words, His true words, His powerful words. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. You are set free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Live in this peace and in this joy and in the forgiveness of sins. And instead of using your fingers to point and to blame, use your fingers, your hands, your heads, your hearts to point people to the same source of peace that you have. Bring your children up in the fear and nurture and knowledge of the Lord. When you think about it, you can't take your money, you can't take your house, you can't take your portfolio. There's only one thing that can really join you in heaven. That's your kids. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Today, God sends you a weak imitation of John the Baptist. And He gives him the task, the joy-filled task of being a finger and pointing you to Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice today and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our fingers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. It is with great joy that we now sing the song that Zechariah spoke nearly 2,000 years ago. The Benedictus, page 226 and 227 in our hymnal. Please stand as you're able. The Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, please share with us your mailing address. We're glad you're here. We'd like to acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of salvation, full and free in the person and work of Jesus Christ, would be before your eyes today and always in the source of your peace. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you. conclude with the prayers of the church. Beginning with the Kyrie, page 227, we stand. God, through John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, you once proclaimed salvation. Now grant that we may know this salvation and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel. It is good for us to give thanks to you and to join with the angels to sing praises to your name. Remember the whole company of your baptized, especially those Elena, Jean, Peters, who will be baptized into your name on this very day. Comfort all the baptized with your unfailing love, that they may open their mouths with joy to sing the great things you have done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel. From of old you spoke to your people by your holy prophets, and in great mercy you sent John the Baptist to go before your Son and prepare his way. Continue to send to your faithful people messengers of your word, who will give them knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel. You have established marriage as the blessed joining of man and wife. Bless all who dwell in this holy estate, especially Rebecca and Ryan Pavlish, joined at this altar yesterday. Lord, in your mercy, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel. The day spring from on high has visited us and given light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. May the light of his good news bring comfort and peace to all who are sick, homebound, receiving treatments, grieving, or facing death, especially Michelle and Glenn, Donna, Katie, Diane, Charlotte, Celeste, Janet, Ed, Kurt, Larry, Donna, Kyra, Sherry, Nicole and Ron, Ralph, Cindy, Anna, Scott, Joe, Deborah, Lucy, Karen, Anita, Nadine, the family of Melvin Dunsing, brother of Renita Gertis, taken to his eternal home this past week. Louisa, Lori, Lyle, Jake, Al, Arnold, Rod, Willis, Sylvia, Bill, Shay, Julia, Anita, and Arlene. Lord, in your mercy, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel. In Jesus, you came to your people and set them free. We thank you for your saints, Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Mary, and all your faithful departed. Bring us with them to the joyous and serene light of the heavenly home that Christ has prepared for us. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated. Before the closing hymn, we invite all those who are traveling with the youth group to Colorado to come forward. Come up to the altar, please.
crucified and risen for you, the forgiveness of sins. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. A lot of details and information about the stuff going on in the days and weeks ahead. Keep our youth group in your prayers. Headed to Colorado today. Got a lot of things packed in a few days. Be back Friday afternoon, evening. Okay. So keep them in your thoughts that way. On Wednesday this week, we'll have our regular church service at 6:30 like always, but we will remember and celebrate the presentation of the Augsburg Confession, which technically is tomorrow, but we'll transfer that to Wednesday and have, like we had a little mini Advent Christmas today, we'll have a little mini Reformation service on Wednesday night. That'll be fun as well. Good Shepherd news and notes. Big E, voters meeting Tuesday night. All the information about the voters meeting is on the inside front cover. We have election of officers, budget, and probably most importantly for most folks, we have the presentation from the call committee, four names to consider as a replacement pastor for Pastor Marundi. Come a little bit early. Information will be ready by 6 o'clock. For you to examine. Voters meeting starts at 7. Pastor Marundi's farewell is the 8th, so after today, and he'll be skedaddling here after the 8 o'clock service, but after today, he and his family will be with us two more weeks, so that's all I'm going to say about that. Very, very bittersweet. We have the vicar longer, so yeah, all right, go figure. Yeah. I like to tease the vicar, but we're having a Red Cross blood drive kind of in his honor, the multiple blood transfusions during our Lenten season that kept him alive. We're going to have a blood drive here at the church. The information is on the sheet. It is July 3rd from 8 until 2 o'clock in the morning. Really need you to... pre-register, is that the right word? Sign up, go online and sign up if you can give that day. As of yesterday, we had a whopping 9 people who had signed up. Okay? So we can do better than that. So check that out. They want the pre-registration so they know how many people to have here as workers. And if you are 16 years of age, with parental approval, you're old enough to give blood, and there is no age limit on the top. So if you can give, please consider it. If you can't give, please consider helping. Vicar, you've got some sign-up things out there.
Yes, so at the not the information for here, the far one, right, Great Grandparent Jan's office, there are 2 sheets. One for anyone who would like to volunteer to be a greeter. There are time slots. Multiple people can be at the same time slot. That'd be great. Also, there's a sign-up sheet if you'd like to bring any kind of food or snacks or anything.
Yeah, egg salad sandwiches especially.
They are on there.
So that makes your pastor happy.
If you could sign up and if you could come and donate, we'd really appreciate it.
Chocolate chip cookies without the chips. Okay? Those are my favorite. Just save the chips. All right, just the cookie. All right, enough of that. We have one Bible study this morning in the Fellowship Hall. We'll continue our look at the Formula of Concord. Today we're going to begin Article 12 of the Formula of Concord. And if you've ever wondered what an Anabaptist is, believes, or teaches, and why we are not Anabaptists, now is the time for Bible study, Article 12 of the Formula of Concord. We've got coffee and goodies in the Fellowship Hall. Please join us. And also join us for a study of God's Word. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here, in about 10 or 12 minutes or so. Pastor, anything else?
A little note on the very back of the bulletin. The school is hiring a part-time aide to help in the elementary classroom. So the information is on there. So if you have any questions, talk to me, talk to Nancy about that. Also, there are sign-up sheets for helping for the farewell in a few weeks. Back there, there's a little table set up for that. And for those going on the trip, here's what we're going to do. We need copies of insurance cards. Mark, can you handle that in the office? Okay. And then Caitlin has the key to the van to unlock it and start loading up. And we'll, while Vicar and I get out of our pastor stuff. So.